Now we give a warm welcome to all who are joining with us for public worship today. Before we begin, perhaps I can say a little bit about the event that has occurred within our community in the last few days. I'm talking about the passing of Adam Grant in very sad circumstances. Adam was one of the young lads of this village. In fact, just prior to lockdown, I went into Highland Industrial Supplies in Inverness, and I heard this voice coming from the counter, "Hiya, Mr. Rennick." And sometimes I wondered, who on earth is Mr. Rennick? But that's what all the young people in the community know me as, and it's basically because of my going to the schools, and they had to call me Mr. Rennick. So I've learned to live with that. But at any rate, I had to say, I'm sorry, I'm not really recognizing you. And he said, "It's Adam. I've left school. I've got a job." And we blethered away for a while, reminiscing about school and clubs. And he seemed to be full of life. He had left school, he had a job, and I thanked him for speaking to me, because I think in my young days I perhaps wouldn't have been seen dead with a minister, but he was uninhibited about it, and I appreciated that. But little do we know what goes on in the mind of a person. And I would just like to say to the people of this congregation, and indeed the people of this community, in particular the young people of the community, but not exclusively the young, if you're going through difficult times and you're having dark thoughts, please don't ever hesitate to come and see me. We can speak things through, and even if I can't help you, I know someone that can. We are here to worship Jesus of Nazareth today. And it doesn't matter how low you get, and it doesn't matter what you've done or how bad the situation is. I will never ever condemn you. I'm not in a position to condemn anyone. But please speak to someone. Please, if you want to come to speak to myself, do that. Now let's begin our worship of God today by singing to his praise Psalm 25. It's the first version of the psalm at verse 4. It's page 231 of the Psalter. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, and do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send, and I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. Let's sing verses 4 to 7 of Psalm 25. Show me thy ways, O Lord.
Show me.
let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God, as we come before you this day, we pray that you would deal with us in your mercy. We come as sinners, the only way we can come, but we come because not only have you invited us, but you have commanded us to come unto you. We thank you for this day, with the sun shining in all its glory in the sky. It reminds us that you are the great creator of all of this universe, and for that reason alone we ought to bow. But we pray that this day we would bow all over again, because you are a holy God who tells sinners to come unto you. And our prayer this day is that the sun of righteousness would shine in the spiritual realm into our hearts, these dark and murky hearts that we have, and that we might savour afresh the goodness of the Lord. We pray that we would be able to say, good unto all men is the Lord, that we would be able to say that we have tasted and seen that God is good. Remember us, we pray, as a nation at this time. Remember those who govern us. Remember Boris Johnson and Nicola Sturgeon. Give them wisdom, we pray. Guide their hand. Remember our Queen and the royal household. We thank you for her. We thank you for the example she has shown to us in recent days. Be a blessing to her in the midst of the difficulties that she faces. Guide her and keep her. Remember all those who are under great stress at this time because of the present pandemic we are facing. Remember our doctors, nurses, carers, all the ancillary staff, the porters, the cleaners, the paramedics. Remember our key workers in shops, our lorry drivers, and indeed everyone who is affected in one way or another by the stresses and the strains of the moment. Remember us as a congregation. Bless our own session clerk as he recovers in hospital. We thank you for him, and we pray that he would soon be among us once again. We pray for Neil Shaw as he recovers from surgery. Be a blessing to him and his family. We thank you for him as well. Remember us as a community in the midst of the present sadness that has enveloped us. Remember Adam's family as they struggle to come to terms with the present situation. O Lord our God, we come to you in all our need and in all our vulnerability, and we ask you to have mercy upon us. Remember us as a community. Cause us to turn to you and cause your face to shine upon us. And all we ask is in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's read God's word as we find it in the Gospel according to St. Luke, and at chapter 23, and we'll read at verse 26. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and at verse 26. And as they led Jesus away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen, and may God bless to us that reading from his word. Now let's sing again to God's praise. It's Psalm number 51. It's found on page 281 of the Psalter. It's at verse 8. Of gladness and of joyfulness make me to hear the voice, that so these very bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All mine iniquities blot out, thy face hide from my sin. Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within. We'll sing verses 8 to 13 of Psalm 51. Of gladness and of joyfulness, make me to hear the voice.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to the passage we've read in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 23, and we'll read again at verse 43. The words there, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." The words of Jesus of Nazareth to one of the men who was crucified alongside him outside the city walls of Jerusalem around 2,000 years ago. Now let's, by God's enabling, seek to explore something of this area of Scripture. These are very strange days that we are living in with the lockdown. Not even during the wars did our communities experience what we are experiencing just now. During wartime, people could go to one another's homes and could interact with one another and bolster and support one another in the midst of the difficulties that they were facing. That's the one thing you can't do in these present day circumstances, or at least not until very recent days and to a very limited extent. And it raises the question as to why we as a nation have gone into lockdown. And one of the answers to that question is that we did it so that our National Health Service would not become overwhelmed. Because if it did become overwhelmed, some of the estimates are that the death rate would be more than 10 times the rate of what it presently is. So we went into lockdown ultimately to limit the number of deaths and to protect our NHS service. And these are that's a perfectly legitimate reason for going into a lockdown. But you know, at the end of the day, whether or not we conquer this virus, every single one of us in life's journey will still have to face this event that we know of as death. And people choose to approach it in different ways. Some people believe that death is like switching off a light. The light is there one moment and then it's gone the next. It's annihilation. Some believe that death is an event that brings us to reincarnation and we come back as something else. For some people, it's basically a no-go area. It's kind of like a head in the sand and we're not going to go there at all. I want to turn to the Bible today because the Bible doesn't duck and dive the issue. It deals with it. It not only explains why the human race dies, much more importantly, it explains to us how death can be conquered. In fact, Jesus of Nazareth is the only individual in the history of the human race who mastered death. And he said that he would master it long before he ever died. Nobody believed him, not even his closest friends, not even his disciples believed him. But we are here today to worship Jesus, because he is the God-man who came into the flow of the human race and lived with us for 33 years and ultimately said he would conquer death, and he did it. And the resurrection is the ultimate proof that he is who he is. And I want us to look at one example of someone dying that the Bible gives to us. And that's this man that's known of as the saved thief. And the first thing I want us to notice about this man is this: his hands are up. He is coming clean. He is being upfront and honest, not only with himself, but with God. And it is just so important for us to do that. Now, he's a man who's afraid, but we're not going to condemn him for that, because he's a man who's staring death in the face. The Roman law of the day has caught up with him, and ultimately he's hanging on a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and he is afraid. He has every right to be afraid. We as a human race have every right to be afraid of death. And it's interesting, he comes towards the end of his life and he looks as if he's a man who's going to die Christless and without hope. That's what it looks like. Because initially, he and his former partner in crime were railing at Jesus and basically saying, if you are who you say you are, do something about our present plight. Get us down from these crosses. But he stopped railing at Jesus. And he did some very deep and profound thinking towards the end of his life. And all of a sudden, he's saying to his former partner in crime, do you not fear God? And the implication is this, because I do. And what he's saying is this, we're getting the just reward of our deeds. In other words, we've lived our lives in rebellion against God. And now we're getting what we cannot argue with. And basically his hands are up and he's coming clean. You know, most of the time when we get caught out in one way or another, we immediately become defensive and we want to present this excuse and that excuse and the next excuse. It's my environment, it's the way I was brought up, it's not as bad as you think it is, and we try to dilute things and we try to put forward pleas and mitigation and we try to put our best side forward. This man's not doing that anymore. There's none of that. His hands are up and he's coming clean. And you know, it's so important for us to do that with ourselves and with God. But the second thing this man does is this, he acknowledges who Jesus is. He acknowledges who Christ is. Because he's saying to his former partner in crime, we're getting the just reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. In his moments of pondering towards the end of his life, in the midst of all his fears and difficulties, he realizes who Jesus actually is. This man has done nothing wrong. And of course, it begs a question, what on earth is Jesus hanging on a cross for if he's done nothing wrong? And we're back to the heart of the Christian message. And the heart of the Christian message is this, that we as sinners can come to him and unburden our souls. We can be as honest as the day is long. We can say, I am so ashamed. I am so embarrassed with myself. This is the real me. And Jesus tells us, you come to me and you give me your sin. That's one side of the deal. The other side of the deal is this. I give you my life of perfect righteousness. It's an astonishing transaction. It's an astonishing deal. But it is the thrill of the message of God's word to the human race. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad the mess is. There is a solution to it in Jesus of Nazareth. You know, some people think if you go to church, if you go to a Christian, you're a good person. And, well, they say of themselves, well, I'm not like that. There is nothing further from the truth. people who come to Jesus, who genuinely come, come in their sins and in their waywardness and in their debauchery. They come in all their need, and they come asking him to have mercy. And the amazing thing about Jesus of Nazareth is this: he is more willing to be merciful towards us than we are to ask him for mercy. This man sees Jesus for who he is. Not only does he come saying he's done nothing wrong, but he actually sees him as a king. And you know, there were many around the cross that day who looked on Jesus, and all they saw was what they would describe as a poor, pathetic, wretched man who had dreams and aspirations that have all turned to smithereens. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. But this man doesn't see that. This man sees the king, and he calls out to the king in all his plight and in all his need. And that leads me on to my third point, and that is this: he's gloriously saved. Because Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This man came to Jesus in the final moments of his life. Every living day of his life, he was in rebellion against God. Do you know, if Jesus had said to him, "You know what? You've spent your whole life in rebellion against me. Why should I save you? What are you going to be able to do for me? Which mission field can you go to? Can you even go to your own family to evangelize them?" No, he's nailed to the wood of the cross. He can't do anything other than this: believe. And that's the astonishing message that Jesus of Nazareth brings to the human race. He will meet us at our point of need, and he will have mercy upon us like we've never ever dreamt of. That's the reality of the Christian message. And I want us to remember today, not just this congregation, but I want this community to remember this day. It doesn't matter how black it gets. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how low you are on life's journey. And it doesn't matter what dark thoughts you have entertained. Remember this: there is hope in this world. It's true, we will all still have to face death. But if you face it with your hand in the hand of the conqueror of death, then death becomes a different ballgame altogether. And that's my hope and prayer this day, for one and all, that we will come to this Jesus with our hands up, being honest with ourselves and being honest with him. That we will bow the knee before him and acknowledge who he really is: God come in the flesh to save sinners. And that we will all have this great hope beating away in our souls, that he is Christ, the hope of glory. This thief, at the end of his days, was gloriously saved. Now, just one final word. To anyone saying, "Well, you know what, I'm going to live my life as I want. I just need half an hour before I die, and then I'll turn to Jesus." Please, whatever you do, don't do that. Because many people don't get half a minute, never mind half an hour. May we all be found trusting in Jesus as our own personal friend and Saviour. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, We thank you that you hear us when we call out to you. We thank you that you've come among us, and we pray that you'd help us, whatever our particular struggles and needs are. May we be willing to be patient with one another. May we be willing to share with one another. And may we be willing to lead those who know you not as Saviour to that knowledge of you. Be with us, we pray, in all the ups and downs of life's journey. Guide us and keep us and bless us all. And all we ask is in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's conclude by singing to God's praise in Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23, it's found on page 229 of the Psalter, and it's at the beginning of the song, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by." We'll sing the whole song to God's praise. "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." Now, before the benediction, can I just say that contact details will appear, and if anybody wants to get in touch, please don't hesitate. And that's true of any pastoral issue that anybody might have. Please don't hesitate to get in touch. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on and abide with each one, both now and forevermore. Amen.